didn't know Chip was going to come until this morning, but he's here, so I'm going to ask him to lead us in singing, God is So Good. You don't think about the goodness of God as much as you do the trials sometimes when you're going through trials. But anyway, to start with, I want Chip to sing, to lead us singing, God is So Good, and then have prayer for him.
Okay. Try to sing, God is So Good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. Christ died for me. Christ died for me. Christ died for me. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good.
My chair at some fellowship hall just because I'm lazy. And so it helps a lot when I could sit down because of my back. If I stand up more than 5 or 10 minutes, this helps a lot. Now, I want to share my blessings of cancer. Now, I know that doesn't go together either, but the blessings of cancer are there if we'll trust Him and see Him. You know, if we can trust Him and see Him, wow, it helps. It helps a lot just to trust and see God's blessings. I've got this down in 4 points. That means I'll stick to it. The first one is prayer. I'll never know in this earth how many people prayed for me through cancer, but because Chip's a pastor and we know a lot of people in different churches and we have a lot of good friends in churches, it was just such a blessing to have people come up to me and say, I've been praying for you. But I tell you what, there was nothing like having children come up and say that to me, because children have a way of seeing things in some ways more wisely than adults. There was just a great joy in having children tell me they were praying for me. But every day, I was able to know that y'all were praying for me. And I just want to thank you. Now, I said that a little bit, you know, as I saw you here and there. But I wish I could let you know how much it meant to me to have you praying through this time. Because now my cancer, as you'll see, it went almost like a breeze, if you could call it that, because the Lord was so good to me. But being able to see God's answered prayer was a great encouragement to me and a great strength to me. You know, before I left here, I was hurting with my back an awfully lot, and the Lord was good to me even then, and He still is. But when I went to the doctor and they started testing me and they found that the mass in my stomach was the size of a baby's head, that sort of shocked me. You know, that was pretty big. Of course, it is pretty big, not just was. They told me that day that it was not cancer. It was there, but it was not cancer. They told us that over a dozen times. I think I'm being, you know, on the low side. It's not cancer. We just have to get it out and so forth. But then the Lord showed us that He knows everything. All right, I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture that I found in devotions. I had written it on my Bible because it was just a neat verse. And that was about all it was to me. It was a neat passage because it's several verses. In Psalm 77, verses 7 through 13. You know, I'm a teacher. I like these big words once in a while. Now I can't remember any of them, so I wrote it down. If I find it, it's called Rhetorical Questions. Now, rhetorical questions means that it's got an obvious answer. It's kind of silly to ask it as a question. It's an obvious answer. Will the Lord cast off forever? No. He doesn't cast us off. We're His if we've asked Him to be our Savior. Will He be favorable no more? No. He's always favorable. He knows what's best for us, even though we may not see it that way. Is His mercy clean gone forever? No. His mercy is always there. Does His promise fail forevermore? He can't fail in His promises. He will not. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? No, He's full of grace. Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? No. Those are special promises, aren't they? And it says Selah. And so that's His finishing touch. And this is where I had underlined these in my Bible on that day. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, this was in September of 2016. This was the same month I was diagnosed as cancer. And this just spoke to my heart. I didn't know it was because I had cancer I didn't know about yet. And I said, this is my infirmity, or sickness, or trouble, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And when I read that, I thought, God's been awfully good to me. You know, I was saved when I was 4 years old in a home devotion. You say, four-year-olds, they don't know about how to be saved. But you know, I had devotions every night in my family's home with my daddy and my mother. My sister and brother had gotten saved. If I was four, they were six and seven. And whenever they got saved, it made my mother and daddy happy. So I wanted to do it too. And that's all it was to me. I just wanted to do it because mother and daddy got saved. So I asked my daddy, and my daddy was one of the wisest men I ever knew. My daddy went through eighth grade. He was a lot wiser than most people we know today. But he sat down and he said, well, why do you want to be saved? And I said, to make you happy. It's a four-year-old, isn't it? And this continued for a good while. But the Lord started dealing with my heart, or He was already dealing with my heart. And that's when I asked the Lord Jesus to be saved, because Daddy would never, ever talk to me much about being saved because he knew I didn't really understand. He could tell when he asked me. But when Daddy got to the place where one day he said, well, now, why do you want to be saved again? And I said, because I'm going to hell. And Daddy knew I was ready. And he led me to the Lord that night, sitting in my little red rocking chair behind the kitchen stove in my living room, the wood stove. And from that time on, whenever something happened in our life that we thought was trouble, Daddy would remind us about the love of God. And I constantly was taught that. So it was easy for me to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. It was great. He gave me that encouragement. God gave me that encouragement that He was always there. That's a lot of trouble for people to understand that sometimes, isn't it? But God was so good to give me that. I will remember the works of the Lord. Same thing there as the works, the things He did for me. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. Now I'm old, and I'm remembering the wonders of God's teaching me His love and His presence. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. See, He gave me that as a child. I'm so blessed. So those are the three verses there that talk about the things that I had as a background that prepared me for cancer almost 60 years later. And then it says, verse 13, the reason we sang God is so good to start with this morning, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And that's one of those rhetorical questions I started out with there. There is no greater than our God. Isn't that precious? To me, that's just a great joy. Well, on September the 18th, I went in and a lady told me that morning, I think twice before we left the room that day, now this isn't cancer. Then we went up to the room, operating room. My words don't come out right, sorry about that. They started the surgery. Was it supposed to be 2.5, 3 hours, I believe? And it was over 7 hours. As they did all the stuff to get everything out of me that wasn't supposed to be in me, which was a lot. But they did the surgery, and they found out that it was cancer. Now, my husband goes to visit everybody when they are having surgery, just about. Every time he gets an opportunity, he does that. And he was all by himself that day through 7 hours. That's the one regret I guess I have more than anything else. I mean, it wasn't anybody's fault. Nobody expected it, you know. But he sat there in that room for 7 hours and waited. You know, I know my husband. He wasn't sitting there worrying. He was praying. And I appreciate that so much. But anyway, I think Chip had told me the night before, but I didn't even remember being awake at all that night. Didn't even remember going to the room after the surgery or anything. Anyway, they said that I had stage 1A ovarian cancer. And they said the big thing was that it's a fast-growing cancer and I would have to have chemo. And boy, that sounded scary to me because I was still half out of it from the surgery. I just sat there and listened, you know. But that morning, before I'd been awake an hour, they called and told him that his mother also was diagnosed with cancer that morning. So my husband was a great, great deal of blessing to both of us. And I don't know how he put up with us, but I really don't know how he puts up with me now. This post-cancer thing, I'm awfully grouchy at times, but he ignores me, whatever he has to do to get by with it. The lady told us that ovarian cancer is never found in stage 1. It's almost always in stage 4. And there's not a whole lot that can be done for it. That statement really got me through a lot because I kept thinking, Lord, thank you for letting them find this so early. And thank you for what you've done with me in this way. And that Thanksgiving of knowing that they found it early took away some of my fear. And my doctor kept telling me I was a worrier. That wasn't very nice, but it's true. I'm just thankful that he gave me that great deal of blessing to know that it was found in stage 1. And that may be the reason that he has protected me so much. Step 2, the answer is those prayers. Step 3 here is medicine. Well, you know what they give you for cancer? They give you chemo a lot of times. Chemo is supposed to destroy the cancer cells, and that's about all they tell you. It'll destroy your cancer cells. You know, it needs to get rid of those cancer cells. They don't tell you all the other things it does. And so it gives you nausea. My hair fell out. You know all those things. If you've known people who've gone through this, total fatigue, low blood count. Every time I went, my blood count was real low. And that destroys the defense system. It also makes you very cold all the time, or it did me. I was just freezing cold all the time. And poor old Chip had to live in a house that had temperature about, 20 degrees higher than you wanted it. I'm exaggerating, probably 10. But it was something to live with. But anyway, those are the negatives with chemo. But do you know, for 4 months, I had almost no back pain. I don't know what it was, except that it was God, because I don't think the chemo helps back pain at all. But for those 4 months, I had very, very little. And then I've always had asthma and bronchitis, usually a couple of times a year, almost all my life. I never had but one Christmas that I wasn't sick with asthma or bronchitis. I didn't get any colds. Now, you can't tell me that whenever your defense system's being pushed down, that's going to keep you from being sick. I didn't even have a cold, not asthma, not bronchitis or anything. Well, I had one of the easiest hairstyles in my life. It was gone. So all I had to do was learn how to tie those little scarves, and I could tie them pretty good. I helped you tie one time, didn't I? It was kind of fun. And they didn't look too bad on my head. So I thought that was pretty neat. Miss B, my visitor back there, would say, I was waiting to see what you look like this morning, because I'd wear a different hat or scarf. Usually the scarves at first. And that was neat. I thank the Lord for giving me a sense of humor to remind me that things can be good when we think they're bad. That helped a lot. And then the precious friends that I have. Do you know, I believe that our church grew closer together because of my cancer. I had so many phone calls. And I mean, sometimes I'd say, I had 8 phone calls today, and then people would say, oh, bless your heart. And I'd say, it did bless my heart. When y'all would call me, it was just encouraging to have those phone calls and people that really cared. Hearing from you and knowing you were praying just continually helped me. But along with that medicine, I got a real strange one. I know these two people back here have heard me say some of these things, most of these things before, but Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I think one of the best things I had was love and laughter. And because it starts with an L, and because I got he's what I picked out to talk about today, love, laughter, and Lucas. See, I've heard about Lucas, my little Lucas. At that time, he was 3 years old. my daughter had moved to Pensacola, Florida, and I missed him. I mean, he was the one that Nana was one of the first words he said. He loves his papa like everything. And he's always said, I'm going to take this when I go see papa. Now, you know how often he gets to come from see papa from Pensacola? It takes several months. Like, they've been there once. All this stuff was over. My daughter was expecting a baby. She's a real daughter. Mama, what do I do about this? Mama, all these questions and all that closeness is very special. But during that time that I was going through cancer, David, her husband, had to go to Atlanta once a month for 5 days. During those 5 days, she would go with him and she would drive from Atlanta to our house and stay with us 3 days and then drive back to the last day he worked. And what a joy we had from that little boy during that time. He was my medicine. I would tell him all the time, you're my medicine, and he'd grin, and he'd come hug me or whatever. And what a joy that was. Well, I thought because this is us and we're family, that I was going to tell you some of the things that he did that made me laugh so well, and I honestly believe it helped me through my times of trouble. David and Sarah Beth have devotions with him every night. Unless David has to work past time for him to go to bed, and then Sarah Beth does, but he would sing. Now, he loves to sing. Lucas is kind of like me. He can't sing. Not very well yet. Now, he may develop it because his mother has a beautiful voice. I think he may learn. I never did. Lucas will sing. Oh, he loves Christian songs. He loves a lot of songs about Santa Claus, too. But he loves, and he'll just sing through the house. He runs through the house singing, and it's precious. You know, if you've got grandchildren, it's precious. Children, too, right? It's precious. But he would sing, and they would read the Bible. Now, the door that's closest to the living room, and then leave it open for me because I wanted to hear it. He would always ask questions and talk about the Bible, and it was just real special to me. He was three, remember. We would just have so much fun with him. I told you she was expecting. During the time that she had the baby, they found out they were going to be moving at that time. David stayed in Pensacola, and she came and stayed with us for 2 months and 5 days. What a joy that was to us. I'd have taken her to the doctor's visits. If David hadn't have got there in time, I would have gotten to stay with her while she had that baby, and I wanted my son-in-law to be there. I did not want to have to go in there because Sarah Beth would scream a lot. No, she probably didn't. I don't know. But anyway, it was a great joy to me to be with her and him at that time. He'd come to the house and they'd say, you're my medicine, and he'd just grin, like I said a while ago. They bought us an iPad whenever they moved to Pensacola so she could send us pictures. And we get pictures almost every day. They videoed the time when they had the ultrasound and found out that the baby was a girl. Well, Lucas had determined that baby was going to be a boy. He was going to be the big brother to his baby brother. He was so excited about it. David, without Sarah Beth even realizing it, videoed Lucas, who sat there with an iPad part of the time behind where they were doing the ultrasound on her. They told her that it was a baby girl, and Lucas wasn't paying any attention. And David said, Lucas, you're going to have a baby sister. And he said, but I can't love a sister. If I've ever seen a little kid that loves his little sister, it's him. But that was his response. Every morning, I get up early. I mean, from 5 to 6:30 at least, you know. And I get up early, and Sarah Beth likes to sleep late. So he'd get up early, and he'd come, and it'd be our time. And he'd come to the door and he'd say, Nana, is the sun awake yet? Now, Sarah Beth won't let him get out of bed until the sun's awake, or that's what he calls it. And so I just love that little sun's awake. I still always think about that every morning. If you don't write down these little things that people say to you when they're kids, you miss a bunch. I was writing down stuff, and these are just some of them. One day he got into trouble, and Sarah Beth had to spank him. He got into trouble again. Like 3 times in a short period of time, he did something he wasn't supposed to do. And she said, Lucas, you make Mama's heart hurt. And he said, that's okay. God can heal your heart. That was so precious to me. And I hope he'll always remember that. The next morning, he was lying in bed still, and so she was waking him up. And she kissed him. And he sat up and he said, thanks, Mom. Your kiss is my world. So you can see why Lucas was my medicine. What a joy. And then little Sadie was born, and I always hated my middle name, Sarah Sadie. You know, Sadie means Sarah. My parents didn't know that when they named me that, but they named me after my grandmother. And I was really rude about my name many times because I thought it was just terrible. But I tell you, Sadie turned out to be a beautiful name, at least for her. I told you my back didn't hurt me for 4 months, but by this time it was hurting me often again. And I remember one night, the first Sunday after she was born, they had a birthday supper at the church, and they had gone over and had birthday supper, and somebody brought, Miss B, I'm sure, brought my dinner to me in big old plates. She's one of those kind of people. I went and sat in my chair by myself, and they all started coming in, and Sarah Beth handed Sadie to me. And I held her just right here. She's tiny. I mean, she had her knees up underneath her, so she's only about that long. She always kept her knees up under her because she was planning to run all the time as she got older, I'm sure. But anyway, she was just laying there, and I held her for just a few minutes, and my back stopped hurting. Just that comfort. Now, that was a gift from Sadie, but it was mostly a gift from God. Those things that God did for me and gave me comfort were just special. And now, today, when I talk to Sarah Beth this afternoon, if Sadie's not asleep, she always recognizes my voice. She'll be a year old on March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. But she always recognizes my voice. And when they came home back in January for Christmas, we had Christmas that last half of January, she acted like she knew me just as much as anybody else. You think, those kids, they don't know you. They just, no, I believe that God just gave me a lot of blessings. And I look back at that, and I just thank the Lord. He allowed me to get cancer, but you know what? I wouldn't give up any of these special privileges that He gave us. I just love that. Now, I have 9 grandchildren. I'll soon have another one, so it's not fair that I'm talking about Lucas and Sadie. The older boys, the 9 and 11-year-olds, acted like they didn't know what to do, matter what manner. You know, I was always making cookies with them and enjoying them. And they never, ever asked or even looked at me when I started wearing those things on my head. Didn't seem to bother them at all. They didn't seem to care. They were just going to be them. But I had so much fun. I hope I always remember this. I used to say I'm going to always remember this. But along with that laughter is the best medicine. Ethan was just a little older than Lucas, and it took me a long time to stop wearing those hats because all I had was hair that kind of stuck out, and it was kind of ugly and awful. And but that day, I didn't have my hat on. I was in the house with the door closed, and Ethan walked in, and he walked over to me, and he looked at me, and he did his head up and looked down, and all looked at me kind of weird. He says, Nana, your hair looks weird. And I kind of laughed and thought, well, you never even noticed it was there before or wasn't there. Ethan had longer hair. You know, he had cute little curls and his hair was long. And I said, why don't you cut some of your hair and give it to Nana? He said, Nana, it would take a whole lot of glue. And then you would be wearing a wig. And I said, yeah. I just thought it was so funny. That was on a Friday. I wore my wig 3 times. I got it because they give you a wig. I wasn't going to get one because I thought I can't wear a wig. And so when I got it, I found out why. It just itched all over the place. I just couldn't hardly stand it. But I had worn it for 2 funerals and a wedding. And that's why I've gotten it. I didn't want to be noticed at weddings for the bride, you know. Okay, I'll wear it. But anyway, that morning I thought, well, I'm going to wear this wig. See what Ethan has to say. And I was sitting at the time on the back row. He came in and he walked by me and he turned around and came back and he looked at me again. And he said, Nana, you're wearing a wig. Now, I got more fun out of that than he ever would have any idea because he was a kid. He was just being himself, and that was good. All right, they finished the chemo in April, and they had this CAT scan, and Dr. Brewster came in on May 19th. She just tucked her head in the door, and she looked around, and she said, everything on this report is good news. That sounded pretty good to me because all the cancer was gone. And I think I told you a minute ago they did the chemo with me in stage 1 only because the cancer was aggressive. A lot of fast-growing stuff there. This morning, as I was writing this, I was just looking over what I was going to be saying because I don't know if it takes 10 times as long to say it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, They have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, I don't look back through the time of cancer as being a horrible time or necessarily a fearful time, because God is faithful. And everything He gives to us, He will help us to bear it. And what a blessing that was. Now I don't want to have cancer again. I'm not telling you, oh, it's great. No, it has its troubles. But I can thank God for it, because God showed me His mercy, His graciousness, His kindness, and His love. And I don't think I ever felt loved by God anymore than I did through this time of cancer. And that's a great blessing. Now, I didn't have any control over cancer. And I, being a school teacher, I was in control of 11 to 34 kids, eight different years. And I was in control and I was responsible for those. But I didn't have any control over cancer. Cancer didn't control either. Who was in control? God was in control. And He's still in control for everything we have to go through. Now, I know you have to go through things that are very different from me. Mr. Jack said a while ago he's got cancer on his face. And all of us have had sometimes in our lives, sometimes many things in our lives that are hard for us to go through. But God is in control. And what a joy that is. Because, you know, I was cooking on Saturday for a funeral and I burned my potatoes. That's pretty common. I say things I don't mean to say. But if we'll let God, He is in control. That's my fourth point. We have no control ourselves, but He is in control, and I am His child. What a joy to be His child. You know, when my kids were little, and even now my 41-year-old is without a job right now, God is in control, and I don't want my sons to go through something like this. I want them to get a job now. We don't want anything to happen to our children. We still want to be in control of their lives, and especially when they were little. But you know, I belong to God. I'm His child. And if He's in control, why do I worry so much? I told Dr. Brewster, I wasn't a worrier, but I found out it was true. I did a whole devotion on it one time at church. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but I didn't go anywhere without wearing this when I wasn't going out every day. A lady in our church gave me this. It says, with God, all things are possible. Mark 10:27 says that. And this little thing right here gave me a lot of peace, too, a lot of help, encouragement. With God, all things are possible. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. If we'll just stop and think, God is in control. He is the one that has to be doing these things. I don't have to be sitting here worrying about it. Just be still and know that I am God. I wanted to ask a question here, close to the end, not the end yet, but close. Are you prepared for life's trials? You say, but I've already had all my trials. Mm-mm. Probably not. But are we prepared? Let the Lord show you. And everything I've given this morning, these things this morning, except the stories about the kids, all those things are things that prepared me for life's trial. God just did them. Not because of me. Not because I've got any special privileges from Him. But what a blessing He is to us. I want to read this little poem to you. I've loved this poem for years and years. My mother memorized it and said it when I was a little girl. But it says this. It's called The Weaving. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Have you ever done any cross stitch? You ever looked at a weaving or something like that that shows the beautiful part at the top, the tapestry, and the bottom of it's ugly? Let me read that poem. That stanza again. That's what I really love. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shutters cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. We'll know when we get to heaven why. The dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He has planned. It's a great thing to know that somebody as great as God has planned our life. And that's an anonymous poem. I believe that person in heaven is going to get rewards for just writing that poem. That's special. My husband, you know, loves writing poetry. Chip made that for me. He wrote the poem and he put that in that frame. Just want you to look at the picture because I'm going to read up the poem to you. But I want you to see the picture of what this says. It says, glory up above. As you study on this picture, Christian, there's something you should know. The sun is shining up above, though rain is falling down below. We may walk through paths of storming that seem to block God's love. Remember, the storms of life are tiny compared to God's glory up above. Now, Chip put that old frame right beside my bed. That poem just got me through a lot of times. You know, I don't like rainy days much. I know I need them, and I try not to gripe. But I'm going to read it again. Now you've sort of got the idea in your head. As you study on this picture, Christian, there's something you should know. The sun is shining up above, though rain is falling down below. We may walk through paths of storming that seem to block God's love. Remember, the storms of life are tiny compared to God's glory up above. And the verse at the bottom of it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. My point today is I want to be a blessing to you to see that whatever comes your way, God will be with you. And I just thank the Lord that He's been so good to me and that He's helped me so much. And I've many times when we were here, I'd complain about my back hurting. And I suffered lots of days. Came left here crying all the way home with bed. Every day I'd go to bed when I got home. But as I look and think about these things, I realize that God has a purpose. And I want to tell you a secret. I don't think I've told many of you, people from the church, know. I've been going to a different chiropractor. That I'm not giving the praise to this guy because I still don't know if he knows what he's doing or not. He does everything different from all the others I've gone to for almost 40 years. But my trigger point, the bad part of my back, is a whole lot better. It doesn't hurt as much as it used to. Now, my lower back, the up and down walking and all that stuff does hurt. And sometimes if I stand very long with my weight on my feet and just stand, I can walk. But it still hurts. But you know, it's a great big blessing to know that He's helping my back to be a lot better. Amen. And God is good. Amen. All the time. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you again for these ladies, Larry, and all the others that come here that I love, and I appreciate you putting it in my life. And I pray that you would bless each one of them. Lord, I thank you especially for their prayers and their love. Have your way in our lives that we'll love you and serve you as we should. And give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.